We are not experts. Do not take advice from us. We are just people talking on the internet. We are not experts.
And welcome to Say Less, Say More, the trio that you never knew you needed. Go and get your money, little duffel bag boy. And today, we're going to cross many horizons. We're going to start off with a review of Dave Chappelle's latest entry into his canon. We're going to get into some WWE, and of course we got sports. But what I'm really looking forward to is this Nicki Minaj, Erica Kirk conversation. Rattle Jack is getting ready too. Then of course we're going to find out what I hate this week, among some other things. But I got the gang with me, one and only El Residente. And even though I just referred to him as Radical Jack, he got so many names I can't keep up with it.
Come on, man. You already know what it is, man. It's your boy Radical Jack, a.k.a. Wobo Lobo, a.k.a. Ringo Mandingo, a.k.a. that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's been Radical Jack.
All right. Say less, say more. Let's get right into it. So, of course, this week, you know, is the comeuppance for everyone. If you've been naughty, you ain't getting nothing.
Cold.
You know, if you've been nice, Santa's going to take care of you. So, first of all, Merry Christmas out there, everybody. You know what I'm saying? The Grinch. The Grinch has been compromised, but I'll get to that in a second. You know what I'm saying? Let's do our check-in. You know what I'm saying? El Residente, what you got for us?
Yeah, man, you already put it out there. Christmas week, you know what I mean? My family has been displaced, so we are, for my second pod week, reporting live and direct from another location that I will not let you all guys know about. But it is in the Ville, so you know, so we're still doing our thing. But everything's good. We finally got the tree up. It looks really good. My wife did an amazing job on it. And we're just getting ready for a great day of fun, food, and family. You know what I mean? That's what it's really all about for me. Gifts are cool, but just having everybody together in the same place. My daughter Vari's coming home. Ariana can't come home. So love you, Puffy. Miss you. But yeah, we have everybody together. It'll be a great time.
Yeah. So, you know, preparing for Christmas, you know, trying to charge my social battery. Trying to get ready to just mingle with family, tell jokes, you know, just be the big personality. Got to do that, you know, for 2 days minimum. So that's what I'm really preparing for, just mentally getting there, getting to the place where, you know, somebody's probably going to make you mad. You know, one of these kids is going to be ungrateful at one of these events and, you know, trying not to break their necks. So, yeah, that's really it. Outside of that, man, life is cool. You know, been sleeping more than I should. That's really it.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, you know, the Grinch got compromised. You know, saying Ebenezer is back in Christmas world. You know, this weekend, you know, we had the oldest come through. You know, saying Asia is live in effect. So, you know.
That's dope.
Unfortunately for her, that came with watching Texas A&M lose their playoff game. But, you know. But outside of that, you know, we went and did our family pictures and everything. And then, of course, Sunday, you know, Miss Faye, you know, saying outdid herself. You know, she took me to a concert, Christmas concert, you know, with the one and only, one of my favorite singers ever, Peebo Bryson and Ruben Stoddard, Sheena Easton.
Sorry for 2004.
This is my sorry for.
You know, so like I was in the middle of the crowd, you know, screaming this Christmas to the top of my lungs. So, you know, I didn't even recognize myself. But, you know, chopchat.com still going ham, you know, all these articles popping off. So thank you, everybody, for that. you know, but that's what's going on with me tonight. Going to look around some Christmas lights and all that and get ready for, you ready, Rez? Get ready for my crab legs and macaroni.
What?
You know what I'm saying? On Christmas, you know what I'm saying? So.
Had to double back after Thanksgiving, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? Some of us appreciate some good macaroni.
I mean, some of us do appreciate good macaroni, 2-5. And you know what, 2-5? Can I sit here live on the pod? If I ever visit your house, man, and y'all offer me macaroni, I can't wait to taste the macaroni that Faye makes. So thank you so much for that, man.
You know, what I like to say here live on the pod is I can literally wait to eat anybody's macaroni because I don't like macaroni.
Except for Thanksgiving, he was really excited about a macaroni recipe that he found that he was really excited about making. See, this is what happens when you know people in real life. But sorry, 2-5, we interrupted you.
No, it's all good. That's all I was going to say. You know, but I mean, since we keeping it real, you know what I'm saying? There's no other place to go but Unstoppable.
Can we do the full name?
I don't know the full name.
I don't know
name.
If we can, if we want to keep our...
I just want to know 2-5 can do the full name.
I don't know the full name.
No, we can't do the full name.
All I know is Dave Chappelle and Colin Kaepernick gear. I'm here for it. That's all I
yes.
know.
Yes, I saw Dave Chappelle and Colin Kaepernick gear, and I said, oh, it's about to go down. And not only did he deliver, he over-delivered. He over-delivered on this special. And I don't want to take up too much time on the front end for this, but I'm a Chappelle fan. I've seen Chappelle live 3 times. I wish I would have been in the room for this one. The cleverness and the way, like his ability to build a joke over the course of 90 minutes is insane. There's nobody that is as good at that as he is. And I know some people, you know, people are more, you know, used to like physical comedy, you know, or the, you know, the slap, you know, like I forgot what they call it, like slap your knee stuff, like a Kevin Hart or, you know, but like when you're talking a true artist, when it comes to building out a joke, he's the best we've ever seen. And this was that. So I'm not going to get into too many details. I know we're going to get into it, but that's just my thoughts out the gate. Just masterpiece, 10 out of 10, banger.
Support that. Go ahead, 2-5.
Yeah, so when I first put it on, you know, I'd watched it this morning, so it's still fresh for me. You know, the first couple of minutes, I wasn't not into it, but it was just kind of like, all right, I'm doing some other things, it's on. And then when he got to the Martin Luther King, you know, talking about how, imagine Martin Luther King today with the internet, you know, talking about changing my mind.
Yeah, he said black people deserve freedom, equal rights. Subscribe, like, and share my content. That was rich. But before he got there, he was doing the setup. He was like, when he was doing this, the initial setup was in his first lines because he said when Trump and Elon did Doge, the housing market went down 200%. So he started talking about the town that he lives in. He said, I bought everything.
Oh, yeah.
I owned the whole town. That was in the first few lines, yeah.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite when he talked about how, you know, these people think that since I bought all this property, I'm a public servant now. And they're like, hey, Dave, you got to do something about these housing prices or whatever. Right. And he's like, you can't afford it, but I can. Like, I can buy you. If you're trying to sell your house, holla at me.
I love that. I thought it was so dope. He said, I'm a capitalist. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I'm not a public servant. I'm a capitalist. You know what I mean? And then, of course, you know, it wouldn't be Chappelle, you know, saying if he didn't take the line and throw it across the street, because he definitely did that.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia. I can speak much more freely in Saudi Arabia than I can here in America.
That was awesome.
He ran again. He ran that line all the way to the end, even with his clothes.
Right.
Even with his clothes, when he was like, "Oh, I need a safe word," like all from the very beginning to the very end, he ran that all the way through. But I love how he talked about, you know, he threw shade at Bill Maher. Like nobody goes after Bill Maher, not on the left side at least, goes after Bill Maher. Like he's one of the sacred cows. So the fact that he was able to take the time, like I'm sick of this, the way this guy approaches like his need to gatekeep what we can and can't do as Americans. Again, coming back to free speech. Why can't I say what I want in the freest country in the world, but I can go to a place that y'all tell me is this terrible, terrible place and say all these things that I can't say here in the freest place in the world? So that was a recurring theme. Sorry, go.
And rest in peace to that Falcon, too.
For sure.
Yeah, facts. I also loved how he I just loved how he was just talking Cash Money shit. I love the way that he stood on that whole Saudi thing. Like, yeah, and I got paid more than all of them, too. Like, I loved it. I loved it all. I was like, yeah. And then, you know, like, fast forward to the end, I loved the montage of pictures. And just seeing that this man is, like, loved by everybody. Like, I think it's something dope to see that the people that he goes around, like, everybody enjoys him. And seeing the colors, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just black people. It's all types of entertainers. It's not just rappers or singers. It's actors and poets and senators. And it was so dope. Like, that's what I really like.
Yeah. And then, of course, he took over the jet with the Jack Johnson stories. You know, that was just gold, you know, Chappelle. As Michael Cole would say, that's vintage Chappelle.
So I actually knew exactly. So literally when I was watching, me and Toya watched it last night, like 1 o'clock in the morning. But like I when he started with that story, I knew exactly where he was going.
Uh-huh.
I knew exactly because I was like, that was how they stopped Jack Johnson. The Mann Act is how they stopped Jack Johnson. And when you think about the name, the Unstoppable N-Word Act, right? He was the Unstoppable N-Word. So when you have that Unstoppable N-Word, how do you stop them? Well, you have a law that says they can't do this very specific thing that they love to do, which is the biggest offense to them of all.
Right.
Which he very directly said, right? But who was the person that said, I know, I thought I told you that we won't stop? Who was literally the unstoppable dog? Genius. Like, bruh, there's so much into the Jack Johnson. I'm a history nut. So I know the Jack Johnson story intently. I wasn't sure the name of the act, but once he named the act, I knew he was with the Mann Act. I knew exactly where he was going because I remember that was what Diddy was actually kept saying. And he built that up too. He said, oh, he's domestic violence, but he's not being charged with that. He has lots of baby oil, but he's not being charged with that. But in the very end, and this is actually what Diddy was charged with.
Mm-hmm. And we learned that Chappelle could have had Cassie.
That was hysterical.
We did.
That was hysterical.
What are you into?
What got me, I had to pause it. You know, like, you ever watch these things and you just have those moments? And, you know, when he goes, and the judge had asked her, like, did he ever pee in your mouth? Like, bro, like, I literally had to, like, walk out the room. I just couldn't. I couldn't take it.
That was so funny. Now, and the just going back to the point about again, Chappelle isn't Chappelle if he isn't making you laugh while telling you the absolute truth, right? Because going back to why people are like, oh, you shouldn't be doing comedy in Saudi Arabia, right? They're like, oh, well, this reporter was killed in a terrible way. They're like, yeah, it's terrible that this reporter was killed, and he went out of his way to name that reporter's name and give that space. But the comedy continued. He said, but there's this other country that just in the last 6 months has killed over 200
reporters. Yep.
And just keep it rolling. Like, bruh.
Dave is the GOAT. I said this 2 stand-ups ago. He's a GOAT. You know, and it's not like the whole... I mean, it is kind of like the unspeakable debate that we don't like to talk about. It is kind of like that, but I feel like for every Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy thing that you can give me, like, Dave has done that outside of movies. But when it just comes to that stage, as Cat Williams would say, when it comes to our arena where we got a battle at, when you get on that stage, you give me that mic. I don't see nobody better than Dave. I'm sorry.
It's hard for me to agree because I'm a Chris Rock guy, and you know what I mean, but Dave has just taken it to a different level that, you know, like, you didn't even think that we could get to, because the things that he says, you're not allowed to say.
And I want to say at this point, he has more like comedy specials than any of them. Yeah. I would say at this point he has to.
And like, think about this though. Like think about, not to cut you off, Riz, but think about the clip that he's done it in. Most people's comedy specials, the amount that he's done, it would be the 20-year career. Dave has done this in a 10-year pocket. In a 10-year pocket, and it hasn't taken all 10 years. But in a 10-year pocket, this man has given us 7 gold standard comedy specials.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dog. And not to mention, he still got the Chappelle Show, which you can watch today and still get gems from.
Still hysterical. Still funny.
So I brought up my favorite part of the special. So what were your guys' favorite moments?
My favorite part was him talking about Nipsey and the Dr. CB documentary, and then the ending it with homeboy dying. I love
that. Charlie Barnett, yeah.
That was so funny to me.
Oh, yeah.
That was another gold moment. I took an AIDS test and got a 65.
Yeah, like, as a person who genuinely cares about health and overall, like, living healthy and being on this earth as long as you can. Like, I'm a person that's looked at Dr. Sabian and studied some of the stuff that he's done and really tried to apply that to my life. And then I took a step back and I was like, some of this is kind of, I don't know if I really need to do all that. So watching him build up the joke also while tying in, hey guys, keep your woes. You know what I'm saying? If you got thoughts on these things, you don't need to always say them, but just, you know, and then him building from that and talking about how Dr. Sebi got off because he was able to prove that he healed these people and then turn it all the way around to tell you, by the way, he didn't heal this nigga. Like, I thought that was so
didn't funny. Make it.
while also tying in his love for Nipsey Hussle and the conspiracy theories surrounding the death of Nipsey Hussle. Yep. That was an octagon, bro. That was an octagon of jokes. Like, fire. That's a joke inside a joke inside a joke inside a joke. My favorite part was the Jack Johnson. The Jack Johnson build, like, I loved the entirety of that joke. Like, from the inception of it, he's like, somewhere we went wrong. I think it started in 1910. And from there, it was just...
That was dope, yeah.
Just wow. Just wow. Right. I bet if he was to say, like, the actual amount of if you were to break into segments, I'm pretty sure he'd say there was only really 4 jokes in there.
Yeah. 4 or 5.
But he
yeah.
built everything into it. There's 4 major jokes. There was the Diddy stuff.
He did 2 closes.
And he did 2 closes. So, and like, he was probably closing for 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, he said, like, he mentioned that before he did it.
You know, yeah, he's like, I'm trying to attempt the longest close.
Yeah. Close, and then I'm going to give y'all the Saudi Arabia close.
Right. And he pulled it off, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was perfection.
Nice. For sure. Shout out to Dave, man. Just
the thoughts of Mike.
Sorry, no, not that one. Just for Chappelle. Wait. Just.
Me, Chris Rock was on my Rushmore. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I had Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, and then 4. Whoever 4 could be, you could put in, you know, your just whatever your opinion was at the day. Could have been Eddie Griffin. It just
not Kevin Hart though.
Nah, only time I can put Kevin Hart in the big 4 is if we're putting together accolades.
Yeah, if you're like, saying most successful, you got to put Kevin Hart up there.
You got to put Kevin.
So did Dave Chappelle say, "Motherfuck the big 3"? It's just big me.
He should.
He definitely did, because we want to go on a small tangent, you know what I'm saying? Like, Richard Pryor, as far as movie star goes, he started it off, right? Like, he had a couple movies. He started acting, really, he started when he was 21, but his first major film break wasn't until he was like 33 or 4. And if you do that, you got to eliminate him, right? Because then Eddie comes. Eddie's a rock star from 19, and he just shoots up, right? Then you get Chris Rock. And Chris Rock, you know, he's all right. You know, no, I don't like to consider Chris Rock a major movie star. Maybe in the black community he is. Because, you know, Chris Rock's favorite thing is, I'm white rich. I'm white famous. But your movies aren't. All Chris Rock's biggest bangers are hood classics. You know, the CB4s, stuff like that. Then you got Dave. Dave doesn't really have too many movies like that on his credit. You know what I mean? If you really think about it, he's got
Half-Baked.
Yeah, it's Half-Baked. The Bride. What is it? The Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah, that's what it is. Robin Hood Men in Tights. And then Nutty Professor, Blue Streak. Like, most of his roles are like side characters.
Yeah, he's not the star of any movie he's in except for Half-Baked.
But.
Right.
But. If you take Chappelle's Show and you really put it up there, like, it's a bigger staple than a lot of these dudes' biggest movies. Chappelle's Show has so many gems in it that you could kind of put it in and put that alone as his little leaping pad of like movie stardom. But, you know, just to bring it all full circle, Kevin Hart comes, and Kevin Hart is a rock star, literally. Kevin Hart movies are successful. Kevin Hart movies go crazy. He's a crossover star. He does all that. Kevin Hart also has 7, maybe 8 specials, and he's also done it in a 10-year clip.
Yeah, Kevin would also tell you, when it comes to standing on stage –
it's not even close, but that's what I was gonna say. Kevin's stand-ups don't get better. Kevin peaked, and you know, me and Rez disagree. I think he peaked at 2. Rez thinks he peaked at 3, and that's fine. But
I didn't see the latest one, and I won't see the latest one. So
I watched the Dave one when you sent the message, and then I tried to watch the Kevin Hart one when it first came out on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Left it alone. Watched Dave last night. I was smoking a cigar, put the Kevin on, and I was like, I messed up. You can't go from, you know, saying I can't go and eat a filet mignon and then try to go and get a fucking McDonald's burger. Like, that is just not going to work. So,
but you try.
I did try it.
Yeah. No, you try. Like, you will eat filet mignon and then I'll see you at the drive through the next day. Like, yo, I'll eat this burger.
I don't see anything here.
Just don't do it. Expect them at the drive-thru, or you're going to see them at the drive-thru. But for real, though, all jokes aside, though, Dave Chappelle knocked it out the park. And, you know what I mean? And while we're speaking on that, you know what I'm saying, damn, Jake Paul got knocked out the park, too.
Yes, he did.
With pulled punches. He got hit with Peter Parker punches. And for anybody that's not a nerd out there, Spider-Man pulls his punches like 90% of the time.
Double broken jaw.
Like, he broke his jaw with a half punch.
Who wants to drive this one?
I don't know.
I can.
Yeah, go for it.
Nah, so my problem with so we actually watched this one like while we were all on like a group call watching the fight in our individual spaces. So it's sort of like a fight party, just virtual. The first 4 rounds, it was obvious that Anthony Joshua was doing everything he could to not swing at Jake Paul. Like, he did everything. He was literally just doing this on the side of his face. And they were counting those the punches. So if you're listening to the commentary, the commentator saying, we've never seen Anthony Joshua miss this many punches. And it's because he's literally just doing this on the side of Jake Paul's face. He is literally just telling himself, I can hit this guy anytime he wants to. The second thing I noticed is Jake Paul does not hold his guard up. The first thing you learn as a boxer is earmuffs. You protect your face. He was not protecting his face at all. The third thing we noticed is that Jake Paul was falling down every 35 seconds.
Dog. Right. That was insane. That was crazy. Like, what are you doing? Is there oil on the ground? Like, what was the slip up?
Right.
Yeah, no, you can't even blame that one on Diddy.
You can't blame that one on Diddy at all. Hysterical. So like and so the part that was the rub, and I'll just talk first four rounds before we get to the fifth round where I actually think Anthony Joshua decided, okay, now I'm going to hit this guy. So if we were to say there was a conspiracy theory, and based on what Dave Chappelle, the advice that he gave us on the comedy special, I'm going to say I believe what happened was the contract was you cannot hit me within the first five rounds, right? You can't hit me.
Okay.
We can make it look like a fight. Let's move around. Now we only fight in six. We're only fighting 8 rounds. So maybe the fight actually starts in round 6. If you can knock me out between round 6 and round 8, you got it.
Okay.
But give me the first 5 rounds to be in the ring. The problem comes here. if the commentator, because there's two commentators, there was a British guy and then there was the English guy. Mm-hmm. The British guy was David Hay, I want to say his name is. And then the other guy's name was Mauricio. Mauricio used to be a WWE commentator.
Oh,
so okay. I looked these guys up because I'm like, who is talking? Mauricio is like, he's the one that's like, what is going on? He's the one that literally started screaming in the fifth round. It's like, what is going on? If you're going to fight, fight. If you're not going to fight, just throw in the towel and get out the ring. In the fifth round, Mauricio saying that. The other guy, David Hay, is like, oh, he's so elusive. He can't get away from I've never seen Anthony Joshua. In full context, David Hay is actually a professional boxer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yes.
I know who he is. Yeah.
He's a professional boxer. So to have the guy who's a professional boxer acting as though this is common stuff that happens in boxing, and that Jake Paul, remember when Jake Paul went down and acted like he was hit, he had a low blow?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
like, and then they took a point.
No, they didn't take a point. They didn't take a point. That's when the ref actually went over. The ref called time, went over and said, either you're going to fight or I'm going to stop this.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. I remember because, and that's another thing. Like, you know it's bad when the ref is like, I ain't got time to do this. Like, I really. Right.
Like, hey, the ref, like, I already made my money.
Like, y'all need to figure it out. And Anthony Joshua was sitting there like, shh, this dude. And I was just watching. And Rez, you know, you were so mad. You was like, what is happening? What is going on? And I'm just looking like, dog, you just got to wait. Like, he's a real boxer.
I was liquid hot, bro. I was liquid hot that entire fight.
Just wait. It's happening. Because I knew Anthony Joshua was not losing this fight. There was right. No way it was going to happen that way. And you could tell Anthony Joshua was hitting this dude. He was doing what you said, like, oh, just, you know, random stuff. But he was still, like, clock him here and there. Like, bop, got you one time. That's why Jake started falling. Because when Anthony Joshua hit him in his he hit him in his lower ribs or whatever, Jake felt that. He was,
Yeah, because the one time he was going down and Anthony Joshua caught him in the rib, that one time he was going like, okay, cool.
Right.
Boom.
And it was like, ooh. And then after that, he started doing the slip and slide, yep, trying to twerk.
Yeah.
And then he finally got up after the ref told him to stop playing. You know, he did his whole thing where he wanted – some people say that's a sign that you're supposed to, like, stop. Like, you're supposed to – all right, you're hitting me too much. Chill out when he does the little tongue thing. I don't know.
There's I'm sure Tank would agree with that.
Maybe yep. so.
Yeah. So, but that thing with the ref, I want to say that was in the fifth round. Sixth round, Anthony Joshua comes out. Because remember, after that, there was only like 10 seconds left in the match, in the round. And that's when he was like started standing there. Sixth round, he comes out, and Anthony Joshua was clearly like, okay, cool. This was fun.
Yeah.
Let's get this out of here. And the punch he actually hits him with is not 100% punch.
Not at all.
That was a straight jab. That was a straight right jab.
That's right. That's what I was screaming the whole fight. I'm like, he does not have to hit him for real.
Like if he'd have threw a hook, he might have killed that man.
So is this the end of the Jake Paul era?
No, it's not the end. It's just
MVP is trying to pivot. MVP is trying to pivot because what they said, the people who were the promoters, they said, oh, well, this wasn't a skill difference. It was a size difference. So they're trying to play it like Jake Paul only lost because Anthony Joshua is so much bigger than him.
Right.
Right. And that's not the case. Like any boxer, now Mike Tyson came out today, either today or yesterday, and was like, I could have beat him too, but the rules wouldn't allow me to.
Right.
Well, we see that clip going around right now where Mike's kind of, and then he pulls it back.
Yeah, I said that. That would have
knocked. Yeah, that would have knocked him.
He was biting his glove because he's like
biting his glove.
That would have if he would have connected with just that one shot in that clip, that would have been been Martin and Tommy Hearns.
Yep,
that would have been.
One hit from Mike would have been bad, and we all saw everybody with a brain, everybody with eyes saw Mike Tyson training, and then we saw the fight.
Right,
and everybody knows like.
Shout out to Anderson Silva too.
Silva, who I also never saw took a dive, before. Who yeah, also took see. A dive for Jake Paul, but
they say Woodley did too.
Oh, I don't know. I think
Woodley got cleaned up.
I think he might have got caught.
Yeah, he got cleaned.
Oh
I think Willie got caught.
I mean, it might have been on purpose. I don't know, but he definitely got
caught. Yeah, he might have agreed to let him hit him, but he got that hit. You can't fake that knockout. The way he got knocked out, you can't fake that.
you can't fake that Nate Robinson stuff. But you know, how about Alicia Bumgarner?
That fight was
terrible. That fight was awful.
Nah, so that fight was only terrible because it was so one-sided, it didn't make sense. And homegirl's face was so beat up.
Yeah.
I feel bad for, what was the white girl's name?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, she got pieced up in something nasty. And then her hand speed wasn't fast enough to actually like do anything productive in that fight. She threw punches so slow that she couldn't win her way out of that. Like, she couldn't even defend herself out of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
Layla Badoin or Badon.
That girl should not have been in that ring. Now, the thing I do want to say is that for all the negative I have to say about Jake Paul as a boxer, the thing I will say about this as a promoter, that kid has a future. Because he has shined more light on women's boxing than anybody else.
Yeah,
has even attempted to.
I can see that.
I do think that he's missing an opportunity. He should have signed Clarissa Shields a long time ago.
Who?
You know what I said. He should have signed Clarissa Shields a while ago. And I'm going to tell you
why. Jack, do you think that signing Clarissa Shields would have been a mistake?
I think signing Clarissa Shields is probably the single-handed dumbest thing that he could do, because Clarissa Shields is a big piece of shit. So the whole point of signing her would be pointless. So she can get on
the boxer
and just, yeah, as a boxer, a boxer.
Say more. Can't
punch that much. Her punching power is trash. She has zero accuracy. Have you ever watched a Clarissa Shields fight? Like, have you actually watched one?
No.
She's not good.
Then why does she always win?
Because she fights people that are bummier than her. It's just like we watch Baumgartner, whatever he just said her name was. It's the same type of thing. You find somebody that's not in your class.
Baumgartner's actually a good boxer, though.
So let me ask you this, Jack.
I'm saying, get somebody on your level and fight them. And then she walks around here talking about, I want to fight Layla. I want to fight Layla. Why? You would get watched. You have
no knockout
power.
What's her weight class?
Whatever the women's is. Big as hell. Big as hell. That's what it is. Have you seen her big, sloppy, out-of-shape body? Talking about she's a boxer.
She's a boxer.
She's a fat back. She's trash.
Ain't nothing got nothing to do with this, bro.
2-5.
You know,
what
she talks with her mouth. She talk a lot.
2-5. What is Clarissa Shields' weight class, please?
tell us what the walrus weighs.
Wow. The walrus.
Have you seen Clarissa Shields' weight? Like, have you seen her weigh in? It's disgusting.
You know what I'm saying? You are crazy. So
what everybody doesn't understand is me and Clarissa Shields have had actual verbal sparring on Twitter, and I don't respect this lady whatsoever.
She cannot verbally spar on Twitter.
So she's a middleweight.
We Twittered. We text. Okay. We literally sparred.
What's her weight class?
So she's a middleweight.
She's a middleweight. What's Bumgarner?
And she has also done super welterweight, lightweight, and when she did MMA, she was a light heavyweight.
What happened when she did MMA, 2-5?
I have no idea.
MMA is a different skill set. Don't do that. We're keeping it on boxing.
Oh, okay.
2-5.
She is super featherweight.
Okay, so she's too small to fight fight Clarissa Shields.
So around 126 or so.
So she's too light to fight. So I'm Clarissa, my point.
If she was actually in shape, though, she probably could fight her. But
my point was this: if you're trying to build up this women's division, right?
Okay.
Which it seems like he's trying to do underneath his moniker, to have the biggest name in women's boxing, it's a no-brainer. It really is a no-brainer. I think the only reason you don't do it is if you say, if she's asking too much for her number and you say, well, we can do this without you. We don't need you to do this. This is a positive for your brand. It's a positive for our brand too, but it's a bigger positive for your brand, because to your point, Jack, that you made, even not trying to make it, nobody's watching Clarissa Shields fights. There are more eyeballs going on these Jake Paul fights, even though those fights aren't great fights, but the undercards of them, especially the women's fights, except for the last one, have all been really good.
Yeah, because what was that? What was the other girl name?
Serrano.
Serrano and
Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Those fights were good. Even though Katie Taylor was headbutting the hell out of her and cheating, but it was a good fight. Like, they were good fights. And Serrano had heart. Way more heart than Clarissa could ever have. So yeah, for sure.
All right. So I don't have the heart to do this, but Jack, it's nap time. You know, so we had Alabama. Alabama walked into Gaylord Memorial Stadium, went down 17-0 at the same time as this Jake Paul fight. And then, you know, Alabama scores a touchdown. Xavier Brown gets a pick six. We see that John Mateer is not a good quarterback, and Alabama is off to play Indiana. Then on Saturday, we saw a 10-3 slobber knocker between the Miami Hurricanes and the Texas A&M Aggies. You know, game-winning touchdown with about 2 minutes left. Malachi Toney, of course, you know, which is Rez's guy. You know, and then, of course, we got the two blowouts after that. You know, James Madison and Tulane got the paddle put on them. So as we head into next week, you know, we get Indiana versus Alabama, Oregon versus Texas Tech. We get a rematch between Georgia and Ole Miss. And then we finally get a matchup into is Miami and Ohio State. So, you know, Julian Sain going up against the Miami defense. Now, Rez, I do think that Miami has a chance to win this game, you know, and that's based on what I thought I saw earlier in the season is that Miami has the trench play. You know, like it's easy to focus on Malachi Toney. Obviously, Carson Beck has the experience. You know, CJ Daniels is another great receiver. Miami has Mark Fletcher in the backfield. But I think that they can challenge Ohio State on the lines is where they have the chance.
Yeah, that's gonna be it's gonna be a good game. Well, one, Ohio State really hasn't been tested that much this year, and I think you spoke about it earlier. Like their first game was against Clemson.
No, they started Texas
against Texas. Their first game was against Texas, and yeah. Then they really didn't have any real like competition until the their conference championship against Indiana.
Yeah, which they lost.
Which they lost. So, like. I don't have any reason to believe that Miami should get beaten a blowout. I think Miami has definitely, if you're talking a speed, if they want to make it a speed game, I don't think Ohio State wants to do a speed game with Miami. I think Miami has the ability, like you said, up in the trenches for sure. Where's the game at?
It is in Jerry World.
Jerry World. Okay. So that's on a fast turf, right? So that's on a fast turf. You got Miami and you got Toney. I don't know what they're going to do with Toney.
So I guess, you know, they do have, you know, Caleb Downs in the secondary, but he plays safety. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those things, you know. I think that Ohio State will eventually put Miami away because I don't trust Carson Beck in big spots. But I definitely think this is going to go down to the wire.
Yeah, no, I would agree totally. I think I'm looking forward to a good game. Is that a Saturday game or a Sunday game? It's a Saturday game? Almost Saturday.
It is on New Year's Eve. So that game is on New Year's Eve, and then all the rest of the games are on New Year's Day.
Okay. All right.
So you got Georgia and Ole Miss in a rematch. That's at the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans. You know, earlier this season they played 43-35. Georgia won. They outrushed Ole Miss by about 200 yards, held the ball for about 15 more minutes. But Lane Kiffin's gone now.
Right. So, like coaching is a difference in this game. I think we go Georgia heavy.
So maybe Ole Miss plays a more conservative style with the new head coach, you know, being the defensive coordinator. You know, you have some film at least to go off of, like you did play this team before. So we'll see how that goes. And then, you know, I think my upset of the playoffs so far, and no, I'm not saying this just because I picked it preseason, but I'm taking Alabama to beat Indiana. You know, I think one of the worst things you could do as a football team is break up your momentum. You know, like Indiana came off of that Ohio State win feeling sky high. You know, and of course, they've been hearing all the stuff, you know, like Indiana's first conference title since XYZ, Indiana this, Indiana that. Don't forget Kalen DeBoer used to coach at Indiana. So this game is personal. This game is personal for him, I think. You know, of course, he was the offensive coordinator for Michael Penix and everything, or defensive coordinator on that team. So, you know, but there you go. And then Oregon and Texas Tech might be the game of the round. Mm. You know, that game will be at the Orange Bowl, so that one will be a true neutral site.
Did Texas Tech have a bye in the first week?
They did.
Oh. Wait, so who all got byes?
It was Texas Tech, Indiana, Ohio State, and Georgia.
Oh, so there's four byes. That's what I was missing. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I think Texas Tech, Oregon is probably the one I would be least likely to watch, depending on what time it is. It's just like something
is that
about
based
Oregon.
Off name?
Yeah, like since Chip Kelly left Oregon, I have not watched one Oregon game. I think one year they made a national championship without Chip Kelly. Was that? Oh, they made it with Chip Kelly.
They made it with Chip Kelly against Ohio State.
But they never made it without Chip Kelly?
No. Well, no. Yeah. They actually, I don't know if he was the coach when they, because they played Auburn and Cam Newton and those
That's
guys.
That's right. Yeah.
So that might have been pre-Chip Kelly. Or one of those.
No, that was Chip Kelly.
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't watched anything they've done since then. Okay. But no, so I haven't. So that's one, the one I'm least likely to watch, because I know the least about either team. I know Dan Lanning's the coach of Oregon, right?
Yes.
So that, and that's the guy. Isn't that the guy that told Dion wear glasses, wearing shades?
He's playing for clicks. Yeah. No. That was Colorado State.
That was Colorado State.
Jay Norvell. Yeah. No, Oregon was the ones Dan Lanning.
Some people play for clicks. Some people play for, Okay.
That was that one. And you know, Dan Lanning is a savage in that way. You know, but I would implore you, you know, that's my word of the day. I would implore you to watch that game, because you might see the best quarterback in the NFL draft if he decides to come out.
What's his name?
Dante Moore. You know, he started out as an Oregon recruit, went to UCLA, and is back at Oregon. You know, but moving on, you know, saying, if you click on my presentation there or my, you know, saying, this is the new updated playoff picture, Jack.
Okay.
Look at your Eagles now.
Okay.
Look at your Eagles now. Who's the bitch now?
You want to see something funny? Or y'all want to hear something funny?
What's that?
So earlier this morning, right, I was texting my Eagles group chat. I'm not making that up, by the way. It really says Eagle Nation. But I was texting them, and my friend Casey said, Jack, who would you want first round playoffs if you had to choose? My direct answer was the Rams. Get them bitches out the way first.
When I said it
last week, he was offended that I said it.
No.
This, right?
Remember what I was offended by? I was offended by us having to face the 49ers, and you was like, yeah, we can beat them.
So what I was saying, I want to just briefly go back to that, because I was thinking about it. When I said it, I was saying, like, I ain't scared of them kind of thing. Like, we're not scared of them. It's just I would rather play these teams. That's what I was saying.
Okay.
And I would rather the Eagles win in the first round and us face each other down the line when there's more on the line. Like, I like to face the Eagles in the NFC Championship if possible. Like, I think that would be a cool game. Like, I'd rather that than us to knock each other out in the first round. Like, I wouldn't want that. But the Rams, I don't want the Rams to win any playoff games.
Okay.
At all.
We get them first. They're not winning.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're not.
Well, do that.
You know what I'm saying? We'll. Hey, what do you say? Get a hey, pass it to me. I'll dust the boy off for you. Don't worry
about
it. Don't worry about it, man. We'll get him out of
over
there.
Here. Y'all know with that. When I look at that, the first thing I see.
Hey.
The first thing I see is my dream scenario that I put out 4 weeks ago. We were going to make it to the five. The game, Carolina will get the four, and round one is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Rajon and Latoya are sitting in the seats watching my Niners put the pause
on
the Panthers.
It's going to be bad.
Oh, yeah.
I am proud of the Panthers for what they've been able to accomplish, though.
And that is a rematch of something that we've seen, you know, a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But guys, you know what I mean? If Green Bay wins this week, you know, they get the Ravens, you know, we'll have to wait and see if Jordan Love's going to go or not, you know, with the concussion. But Lamar Jackson, I'm thinking, is probably not going to go.
Malik Willis is hurt too.
Is Lamar Jackson?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did get hurt. Yes, right. Was that?
Is Lamar actually hurt?
Yeah, yes. He hurt his back. Yeah. And he went down untouched. But the point being is, if Green Bay wins, bye-bye, Detroit. Mm. You know, if the Ravens lose, bye-bye, Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where we are in the playoffs. You know what I mean? And then, of course, over in the AFC, the top five seeds over there that you're looking at on this screen can all end up with home field advantage. You know what I mean? If the Chargers win this week, we set up Denver and the Chargers for the West next week. If Carolina wins this week and Tampa continues their slot, they're playing Miami, so I don't suspect them to. Carolina's in, Tampa, bye-bye. If not, next week, week 18, Tampa and Carolina is for the South. Mm. If the 49ers win out, the 49ers are your number one seed.
So they replace Seattle.
Hey. Yes. And they close with Seattle.
Week 18.
So, ask a question. Is anybody afraid of Seattle?
No.
Afraid? So I'll say this. You don't want to underrate Seattle. You don't want to go into Seattle like they're chump. That defense is very, very serious. And when Sam Darnold is locked in and able to not make turnovers, they're hard to beat.
I guess that was my real question. Like, do you believe in Sam Darnold?
I don't. At some point, Sam Darnold
is not Joe Hendry.
At some point, Sam Darnold's going to Sam Darnold. Like, you cannot. He's not the smooth, steady force that without using my quarterback, even a Jalen Hurts is. He's not like you can pretty much consistently, okay, he's going to do this, this, and this, and he's going to do it well. And if this goes badly, then there's ways for him to bounce back. With Sam Darnold, it's all really good or all really bad. There is no middle ground.
Yeah, because the one game this season that I watched of Sam Darnold, I was like, ugh. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable with this guy at the helm, personally. Yeah.
And, you know, on top of that, last thing I'll mention before we move on is that, you know, we talked about San Francisco getting that one seed potentially. Their opponent this weekend is in that conversation as well. The Chicago Bears, you know, if the Bears went out, get some help, the Bears could end up with the number one seed.
Bro, I ain't going to lie. I think the Bears are going to upset the Packers in the playoffs if they go head to head. I'm not even going to lie, dog. I think these Bears, they got something coming. Like, I don't know what it is, man.
It is not happening. Well, first of all, the Bears win that game. I mean, the Packers win that game the other night if Jordan Love doesn't get hurt. They were in control of that game until he got hurt. You know what I'm saying? And I know we don't do the if thing around.
That's true.
I think that the Bears defense, the Packers defense matches up well with the Bears. That's the problem. You know what I mean? And Caleb, even with that win, do you see that throw he made?
That throw was crazy. Like,
that was a perfect pass that you don't even see Peyton Manning pulling off.
That was an amazing athleticism pass to do that. That was an amazing pass. I'm probably one of the biggest Caleb Williams detractors that there have been.
I'm a big hater.
But for sure. that throw at the back of the end zone, that there's not a lot of people can make that throw.
Yeah, and the best part about it, because I always say that sports is poetry, you know, the defender on that play was Keyshawn Nixon. He was the one that intercepted Caleb's pass 2 weeks ago when the Packers sealed the win against the Bears. So there's your sports poetry in a moment. But speaking of unpoetry in sports, Mr. DK Metcalf.
Big punch.
You know, suspended 2 games. Guaranteed money goes bye-bye. So he lost $45 million by doing that.
Did he really punch him, though? Do we really want to count that as a punch?
I don't care if you count it as a punch or not. You just can't do it.
But
you just can't do it.
You can't do it.
Is there a scenario where a player is okay to punch somebody?
No. Now, from the public, from the court of public opinion. I understand what you're saying, but from the court of public opinion, absolutely, you can get that off. But as a NFL employee, there ain't no way around that. And that's what that's one of the things I hate. This ain't the 2-5 hate segment, but that's one of the things that I hate is that people do these things and then people try to act indignant as if you don't understand why somebody did what they did.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So depending on what that person did,
we don't even know what that dude said to
him. Right. So depending on what that person did, I'm good with DK Metcalf feeling that he needed to do that.
Yeah.
Side you just note, can't do it.
I'm proud of DK Metcalf for not going on Twitter or social media and saying, this guy said this, and that's why I did it. And y'all acted like y'all don't understand. I'm glad he took his fine. He's taking a punishment. Just go home. You know what I'm saying?
$45 million gone.
I saw a video on TikTok that was like they need to teach classes on how there used to be a time where you could get punched in the face for words you said.
And they do. You said that to me.
Yeah.
110%. They don't need to make class. We just need to start raising these kids.
Like, I'm a big proponent. I've said this publicly. I'm a big proponent of just like bringing back punching people in the mouth.
Yeah.
And I know that's not like a popular thing, you know, in this kinder, gentler world that we live in, which is not kinder or gentler. It's actually meaner because people don't understand that your actions have consequences. And they don't understand that, like, when you go to the zoo, they have bars around the animals for a reason. They have glass around the cages. They have glass around the cages for a reason. Because they're trying to make sure, because they don't want stupid people to go into cages and get mauled by animals. Right? Yeah.
That's
human beings are the same way.
So that's actually why they have glass instead of the cages now.
Yeah. Because they're sticking their arms through the glass. Like, and just doing stupid stuff. Like, you don't know. Like, I think back to the Malice at the Palace. Like, I remember when that happened. Like, I remember sitting there in CQ, in my CQ, watching that happen live, thinking to myself, why would you throw a drink at Ron Artest? This man is very tall and very strong. You're not very tall or very strong.
That dude had to be like 5'8" max.
And
like,
he already max. Told you that he watched his friend get stabbed in the chest with a table leg.
I agree. That's we need to bring it back. Like me personally, I teach my kids to punch your kids. So you teach your kids to do that, that's on you. My daughter knows if somebody touches you, I don't care about what the school has to say about it. Punch them in the face. We'll deal with it afterward. Disrespect would not be tolerated.
And then lastly, quick question. Can the NBA take Christmas back?
No.
No. Well, this year they can because of all the injuries.
Yeah, this year, this lineup is crazy. You got J.J. McCarthy out. You know, Mariota's out. And, you know, obviously that already goes to say that Jaden Daniels was out. You know, and then you got Mahomes and now Gardner Minshew is out. So,
Nah. So the Lions-Vikings game, that's NFL time. Even though J.J. McCarthy's out, people want to see the Lions. And the Cowboys
are I don't know. Out of the 10 teams in the NBA that are playing on Christmas, 8 of them are in the top half of the league in offense. So, you know.
But this is the thing that you also have to think about too far. Mad people don't like the NBA anymore.
No, this is the problem. So, of those top 8 teams that are those top 10 teams that have top 8 team player teams in the top in offense, if you took the starting lineups of those 8 teams and just randomly put them in malls throughout America and have them walk through the malls, how many of those people would be recognizable by their face?
I wouldn't know none of them. I just told
the
my
8 teams. Let's count it out. What are the teams?
Luca LeBron,
that's 2.
All right, so Lakers.
Kevin Durant. No,
don't say the names of the people. Say the team first.
Say the teams.
All right. Hold on. Let me pull up my thing so I make sure I say it in order, too. All right, so we got Knicks and Cavs.
All right, Jalen Brunson. And honestly, there's a lot of places that people won't know who Jalen Brunson is.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll give Jalen Brunson, but let's say.
Cavs, I mean, they might recognize Josh Hart for his antics the other day.
Nobody recognized Josh Hart. Nobody
knows him. And then think about this. Nobody knows who Donovan Mitchell is. If Donovan Mitchell walks down the street.
If Donovan Mitchell walked in my house right now, I would be like,
Donovan Mitchell's only 6'3 and a half, so he's not even special. Like you, it ain't like you get the NBA reference of like a 6'6", 6'7".
Let's put him on the recognizable list, though. Donovan Mitchell.
Keep going. All right. Then we got Spurs and Thunder.
Wimby. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Wimby. That's it from that team.
Thunder? Yeah.
Thunder SGA?
SGA is not walking in the building, and we're going to know who he is. Though.
I'm pretty sure I would remember Alex Caruso's hairline.
But the walking, I'm talking walking through the mall. People, oh my God, that's nobody's doing.
Wimby's get that just off.
Wimby's of getting that
3,000 feet tall.
SGA would get that.
So no J Dub.
No.
Who?
No. No.
Who's J Dub?
Jalen Williams.
Cool.
All right. Oh, what about Chet Holmgren?
No.
He's a freak.
He's just tall. He's just tall. But you would like, I would think
he played overseas.
Oh, he played volleyball. Yeah,
he's a European player. Hey, bro, did you play basketball?
If Chet Holmgren came through there, be like Sean Bradley.
Yeah.
All right. Mavericks and Warriors.
Kyrie
Irving. Is Kyrie healthy?
No.
Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson will get recognized.
As John B, but he
Cooper
was
Cooper Flag.
Cooper Flag would not get recognized.
Nobody knows
the unibrow.
Oh, Anthony Davis on the map.
Anthony Davis would get recognized.
Okay, yeah.
Mostly because of the unibrow, though.
Is he healthy?
Yes.
Okay, then he'd get recognized.
Who's the other team?
The Warriors.
What do we have? Six players? Seven players now?
Yep. Maybe, yeah. So then you got, the Warriors, Steph. Draymond.
Oh, Steph back? Oh, Draymond's recognized. Yeah, Draymond's gonna recognize.
Steph's back. Yeah.
So that's nine.
All right, then you got Lakers, Rockets,
Bron,
James.
That's 10. Luka, 11. KD,
Luka walking through the mall,
12.
Is he? Getting
I think people would recognize.
People would recognize Luka. Enough people would recognize Luka for it to be a thing.
I think white people would have Eminem syndrome with him.
White people would recognize Luka. Like, it would be a thing.
I don't watch the NBA, but I know who that is.
And Luka's what? Six? Is he 6'7"?
Yeah, he's about 6'7". Yeah.
6'8".
Okay. And then you got Wolves and Nuggets.
Anthony.
We didn't say KD. KD gets recognized.
We said KD. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Anthony Edwards.
I bet you all them 60-year-old white women are recognized Ime Udoka.
That's hysterical.
Anthony Edwards is getting recognized once somebody says, Hey, that's
Anthony Edwards. But no, Anthony Edwards is in a movie. He's in a Netflix movie. He's in two movies.
Yeah. With hair.
They recognize the Joker.
He's in a movie.
Oh, Joker's getting recognized. That's it. That's the list. So we have 14 players out of the 18.
Jamal Murray?
No, God no.
I don't even know what he looks like in my head.
No, Jamal Murray's not. Baby, do you know who Jamal Murray is?
No, ask her who Cooper Flagg is.
Do you know what he does? He's not a broadcaster. Do you know who who'd you ask?
Broadcaster.
Who's Cooper Flagg?
Do you know who Cooper Flagg is? Cooper Flagg. Yeah. Cooper Flagg.
Dang, is she married to a Duke fan?
Cooper Flagg. Huh?
She's like Bradley Cooper?
You play basketball? Cooper. Do you know a team? Texas. He plays for Dallas. He plays for Dallas. He does play for Dallas.
Bam! There you go.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
Cooper
Flagg gets the computers Putin. You know what I'm saying? But guys, I heard that Trick Williams might be on the way.
Whoop that trick. Whoop that trick. Whoop that trick. Columbia Zone. Don't play with South Carolina. Gamecock, stand up. Listen, that trick. Once we see Trick Williams hit the WWE stage, that drop is getting added.
All right. So, sorry about that. The wife called. You said Cooper. I'm not Cooper.
We're on Trick Williams. We're on Trick Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
What's that trick?
So, Trick Williams finally made his Raw debut, right? Or he's making a SmackDown debut.
It's supposed to be SmackDown.
SmackDown, yeah.
Soon. We don't know when, but soon.
All right. And y'all are excited for what is up with Cooper Flagg? Y'all are excited for Trick Williams to come in?
Yes.
Whoop that trick.
Hey,
I think I'm going to have to go on YouTube and I'm going to have to really do like a Trick Williams dive because I have not seen the love that y'all keep having, dude.
If we can trust Triple H, and we know that we can't. You know what I'm saying? He has the next rock on his hands.
Whoop that trick.
He has the next rock on his hands.
Is that his intro music?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's hard.
Yes. Former, you know, and I don't want to be disrespectful, former TNA champion.
TNA champion and NXT champion simultaneously.
You know what I mean? So like, yes, he's coming. You know, of course, you know, he's engaged to Lash Legend. So, you know, so that's probably that's dictating the SmackDown. But spoiler alert, because y'all ain't going to see this before y'all watch it. You know, Carmelo Hayes is the new United States champion of the world.
Yeah.
You know, Trick Daddy or Trick Williams adjacent, by the way.
Yeah, that's his boy.
Yeah, that's his boy. Trick Mello gang.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, dog. I'm so hyped for the Black Revolution in WWE. Like, if they have an opportunity between Carmelo Hayes, Montez Ford, Trick Williams, Obi Femi, Javon Evans.
Obi is going to be a big dog.
Like, they have an opportunity. Like, dog, they have an opportunity to really do something that they have never, ever done in the history of WWE or shoot professional wrestling for that matter. And that's have a full, like, Black slate, like, of player of wrestlers that are not depicted as thugs or criminals or
What if they made SmackDown the Black brand?
That'd be a
start. And you don't even have to use Samoans to fake Black.
Yo, hold on, wait. Racial draft? A racial draft? WWE?
What if?
So hold on, whoa! We just stumbled onto something.
All the Black dudes, and then Jacob Fatu.
Yada mean.
Like, you gotta have Jacob Fatu over there with them too. Like, and then the Usos win the championship, and they take it back to SmackDown.
You know, so you know what I mean. Like, that's the problem, though. That's kind of the problem that we're running into is that. When you look at Raw and SmackDown, there's not a lot left to be desired that isn't over the age of 40. You know what I mean? But in NXT, they have so many standouts. Like, usually there's one or two people, maybe three, that you look at and you go, this person's the future. Let's move them up to Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. But NXT got a whole slew of people that I think are ready. You know what I mean? But you just got
some people on the main roster that aren't ready and should go back.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I think Becky Lynch should go back to training. I really do. Who? Becky Lynch has gotten so sloppy. Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
Come on, man.
Bro, she needs.
You ain't got to be calling out the GOAT like that, bro.
Becky Lynch is terrible.
She really was.
I wish I had a boo drop in here, and I would just like rain down boos.
Well, speaking of Becky Lynch, she's about to get her rematch with Maxine, it looks like.
Great.
You know what I mean? Maxine going, you know, for the fourth victory against Becky. You know, said we'll see if we can do that. Nikki Bella is still talking. You know, last night was probably the first Raw that we didn't get to see. I don't remember Rhea and Io lesboing out.
They didn't, because remember, Rhea came out on her own, and then what'd you say?
I've never heard it, so I turned on the Trick Williams.
Oh, well, I told you, bro.
That trick. What? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Now, Rhea came out by herself, was fighting for some reason against two people, and then EO came out. Well, they do the dumbest stuff.
Remember, it was her manager. That's why. So Kyrie was basically like the manager role.
But Kyrie's not a manager.
But Kyrie is hilarious.
And this is my problem with it. Because they did that, and then they just multiplied it by three with Javon fought the El Grande Americanos, all three of them?
He fought Ryo.
But Ryo. All three of them came out.
Because, like, we're brothers.
They're not brothers.
We're brothers.
and then, in unfortunate news, speaking of the Mexican wrestlers, you know, Dom is hurt. Dad strikes again.
You know what I think about that, though? I think that's karma. I don't play with injury stuff, right? So he did the thing a couple weeks ago after Penta went down where he pretended like he was hurt.
Yeah.
And then, like, did the whole, like, I don't ever mark myself like that. I don't do pretend injuries. I don't do pretend sicknesses because, like, whether it's professional or whatever, like, I don't do it. And when you do that, like, it loses credibility when you actually are hurt. It's the child who cried wolf kind of thing. So, and I think you can mark your body. You can mark yourself for injury. And I definitely think that that's getting hurt is common.
No, this is an old ass deadbeat dad jealous of his son. That's what this is.
Okay.
Well, if he's a deadbeat dad, you know, he's not really jealous of his son. He just
he ain't even really his dad anyway.
Yeah, you know. Shout out Eddie Guerrero.
You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, Eddie. You know what I'm saying? Austin Theory. You know what I'm saying? Got in the ring last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
Shout out Austin.
So my question, I guess, here would be, what is Austin Theory?
Austin Theory is, okay, so in my opinion, so let me clarify something I said on last pod. So I have never been entertained by Austin Theory, but I recognize the talent that Austin Theory has. You know, it's just not for me, but he's talented. Austin Theory should be Seth Rollins. So it's kind of perfect that he's playing the role that he's playing right now. Now, this is the problem with the role that he's playing right now. The Vision has been running roughshod all over Raw for the last couple of months. You need somebody in the Vision that takes an ass whooping every now and again. You know what I'm saying? Because they're too OP right now. But Austin Theory can't be that person because you put him in that storyline and made him the masked man. So you can't have him out here getting his ass whooped. But if you look at Austin Theory, for me, he should play the role that JD plays in Judgment Day. You know what I'm saying? But he just can't because of where you placed him in the story.
So you want Austin Theory to be the dude that gets beat up?
No, I don't want him to be that. I'm just saying the Vision needs that. You know what I'm saying?
Because optically, it makes more sense than the other two getting beat up.
Yeah, because Logan Paul, right? Like, could play that role, but obviously he's not going to because he's the crossover guy that crosses over into the celebrity world, Hollywood, all that stuff. So they're only going to have him take but so many ass whoopings.
Like, I don't think that the Vision needs anybody to lose.
No, they do. But hold on, think about Judgment Day for a quick second, since I made that analogy. So you got Dom as the lie, cheat, steal, right?
Right.
Then you got Finn as the credible. This dude can go in the ring. Yeah. You know what I mean? So JD is the guy that, like, gets the brunt of the ass whoopings, gets thrown into matches randomly, you know, whatever the case may be. Austin Theory can't do that because of the role you put him in, but there's nobody else to play that role in the Vision.
I think that this is a way to cause turmoil in the Vision.
Definitely.
Because in the Vision, you have four dudes. Okay, let's not lie. You have three guys that can be the guy, and you have one dude that is easily just the lackey who's big as hell.
But he can't. Yeah, he can't take the ass whoopings because he's big as hell.
Yeah, right. It, like, optically, it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to get
beat
down.
So what I think is going to happen is Braun and Braun are going to start beefing because Austin is going to start coming in and taking some of that leadership role. Logan has already basically let everybody know, I'm here because it makes sense. I'm not loyal to none of y'all. I'm here because it makes sense. Austin is there to change things and make people understand I'm the guy that you need to respect. I've been disrespected this whole time. Y'all are going to respect me. Braun is already trying to be the next guy. So him and Austin are going to clash for the leadership role in this position.
But see, based off of personality, that's where Austin and Logan would clash. Because they're both the young brash. You think they're up next.
But the thing is, Logan doesn't have loyalty problems. He's just there to be there. I don't need y'all. Like, he's already made it clear. I don't care. I'll jump you and get the title shot, or I'll join the group because it makes sense for business. But Austin Theory is, I want to be respected, period. So when Braun starts doing his whole, I'm the leader, this is my gang, y'all, Austin's gonna be like, pause. You're not my leader. Like, we're all equal here, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's where the clash is going to come. And then the other Braun is going to have to pick a side between Austin and Braun because they're going to try to, you know what I'm saying? And then Seth will finally come back. And
That's the one I'm looking at is
Seth comes back.
When Seth comes back, Seth is going to want to get his pound of flesh for the betrayal. And that's when we're gonna, I think that's when we'll see where this thing really goes. I think they're trying to set it up where Braun fights Seth for the title.
And see, and that's where, you know, to bring it fast forward a little bit, January 5th, right?
Yeah.
Braun against CM Punk for the title.
It doesn't happen there.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, but that's where you could, because you brought up, like, you don't think that Braun should get the belt.
Not there.
So this is where you bring up one of those accidental, somebody tried to hit CM Punk, but they hit Braun and knocks him out, and then, you know, then you can start cracking your foundation right before the Royal Rumble.
No, I agree. Question, though. Was Austin Theory's finishing move always Seth Rollins' finishing move?
No, his finishing move was the A-Town Down, which kind of looks like a F5, like the Brock Lesnar move.
Okay.
But then he brings his knee up, and it's kind of like a fusion between Brock's move and CM Punk's move.
Kind of like a go to sleep.
Into his knee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, but that's where we are, you know what I mean? Like, this stuff doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense for Nicki Minaj to be out here with Erica Kirk.
Let's, you know, cook.
Here we are in America, Jack, you know what I'm saying? Let these liberals and conservatives know what's the word.
Go ahead, bro. I'm going to clear out and let you cook, bro. This is your time.
It's my time?
It's your time. Go. I'm going to put you in the middle.
Oh, that's nice. I just want everybody in this world to understand that you have your own brain. We're not hive-minded. We're not sheeple, as some people would say. And it's okay to just do what you feel like you need to do. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to be conservative. It's okay to be liberal. It's okay to have a little bit of both inside of you. But what's not okay is trying
pause.
Yeah, big pause. Big pause. You don't. But what's not okay is trying to do things because you think it's the right thing to do, or because you think, well, my friend group agrees with this, so in order for me not to piss my friends off and or lose a relationship, I need to also do this. You know,
I would push back on one thing. I think you should do everything because you think it's the right thing to do. Now,
yeah,
doing things because other people think it's the right thing to do is different than doing things because I think it's the right thing to do. That's the only thing I push back on what you just said.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I think you should. You should do it because you want to. Yeah, for sure. Because a lot of people
don't do that anymore.
Everybody nowadays is like, oh, I'm terminating friendships. I don't want to do this because you like this person and I don't. Or because you might like one thing that somebody did. All of a sudden, they're throwing the MAGA hat on you. Like, oh, he's MAGA. He's MAGA. And it's like, why does everybody just, if you don't go with certain political takes, it's either you're with us or you're MAGA. And my friend Rajan is going to tell you guys why thinking that all Republicans and all conservatives are MAGA doesn't make sense. Because why? Because he's Senator Rajan.
Before I do, though, let's go back to Nicki Minaj, make sure we talk about that topic, and then we'll come to that, because I think that's a good place to definitely have a good conversation. Nicki Minaj went to America Fest, is something that they apparently have with Turning Point USA, which is the Charlie Kirk founded organization.
That shit's Erica's now!
Sat down with Erica Kirk, which is... Erica Kirk, by the way, is having the greatest widowdom of all time.
I was about to say, her widow peak is crazy.
There's never been a widow that's had a greater
deadbeat mom
widow time. Like,
where are the children? For real.
What? Coretta Scott King could never have the type of widowdom that Erica Kirk is pulling off. Like, she had a WWE entrance to America Fest. If y'all haven't had an opportunity to check this out,
bro,
y'all have to see the sparklers that came out when this woman they had the pyro.
every time I open Facebook or Instagram, I see her before I see anything else.
No, she has having the greatest, like, if your husband has to be killed, this is the way to do it, right?
On it for sure.
This has got to be the way to pull it off. Anyway.
But don't get your husbands killed, though.
But don't get your husbands killed. Husbands live. We need our husbands alive, all right? You know, the community needs you. Men are important. But seriously, so Erica Kirk is hosting, I guess, America Fest by Turning Point USA. There had a series of interviews and stuff, and especially the week during, we didn't talk about this, but Rob Reiner's unfortunate tragic death. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife at the hands of his child. And Steve Bannon was on that talking about how much better of a person Charlie Kirk was than Rob Reiner, which is wow. Such class by these people. Such class.
Besides what the president himself said.
Yeah, so I mean there's that going on. But Nicki Minaj sat down for a one-on-one with Erica Kirk, fresh off of her UN appearance, in which she, you know, got to tell the world how great Donald Trump is. I mean, so that's going on. But she sat down with Erica Kirk, and she was saying how great of a person Erica Kirk's former husband was, how much everyone should look up to him, and how handsome Donald Trump is.
And dashing.
So, you know,
dashing and handsome,
and how people should stop hating on the chick that's the White House press secretary,
Caroline Levin.
Caroline Levin, yeah. So, yeah. Like, she got all the key talking points off for Turning Point USA, and then I actually saw that today they actually showed clips of what Charlie Kirk thought of Nicki Minaj.
Oh yeah,
which was not flattering.
I haven't seen that.
Which was not flattering.
Terrible role model. She should not be a terrible role model.
Yeah. And then he actually confused the Nicki Minaj Cardi B song with the Nicki Minaj song.
But his caveat was, I don't know who wrote it, but you know, one of them,
because wow. They all look alike.
I ain't gonna lie,
Charles.
I agree with Charles on that. Nicki Minaj is nobody's role model, but not because of the reasons he thinks so.
Yeah, nah.
Nicki Minaj is everybody's example of what not to do. When you are in desperation.
Wow. Like,
Nicki Minaj is out here trying to get a sentence. You know, she's trying to get a pardon for her creep.
That's
ass,
what it sounds like. That's what it looks like.
And her freak ass brother, who both like touching children inappropriately.
Where you at, Dez? Where you at, Dez?
So I just think that. Oh, I forgot about the Dez Bryant thing. Yeah. Crazy trying to sign up for a Hall of Fame wide receiver to beat up your husband. It's crazy.
What?
Okay, my bad. A super good
Wilson. The thoughts of Xavier Jackson, aka Radical Jack, are not necessarily the views of Rajon.
She has a high guy, Mike Wilson.
That's cool.
No, I'm talking about him talking about Dez being a Hall of Famer.
We are. I said it really good. I fixed it.
Anyway, go ahead.
But he's talking about Desiree, not Dez Bryant.
I'm talking about Dez Bryant. But
that's what you talking about, right? 2-5, Desiree, the Rock Nation lady.
I was responding to him.
Because when you said, where you at, Dez? Like when you talk about Nicki Minaj.
No, I was talking about Dez Bryant.
Oh, no, because Nicki Minaj has a thing against...
Yeah, she's been calling Desiree Carter a rat for quite some time.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj also had beef with Dez Bryant, too.
But isn't Dez a rat?
Yeah.
Are you a rat?
I don't have a problem with somebody calling a rat a rat.
Are you a rat if you didn't commit a crime?
No.
Yes.
No, you're a witness. You're a witness.
How rat if you didn't commit the crime? The whole point of being a rat,
well,
a snitch,
is I was there with you and I tried to get myself out of it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But if I don't know the backstory, so I'm chill on that.
If somebody does a crime, if somebody breaks into my house right now, right? Because this is so now we're going to a different conversation, but I'm gonna do it real quick. If somebody breaks into my house right now and robs my house and then runs out the front door. The streets would have me believe that I'm supposed to be like, I don't know who did it. I'm not cooperating with the police.
Nope. That's not the thing, though.
No, that is the thing. That's not 100% what it's supposed to be, but that is 100%
saying, hey, it was a black dude. He was 5'8". He was wearing these types of shoes. I think I know him from down the street. His name is Leroy. This is a white man from Indonesia. The white Indonesian came in and broke into my home.
All right. Anyway,
it don't matter. Whoever the person is, if you do a crime around me, especially if I'm a victim of it, I am reporting you. That's a victim, not a snitch. And if I do have nothing to do with the crime, you are running across the street, and I see, Leroy ran across the street,
so
and the cop
Nicki
asked
Minaj
me,
a witness,
I'm gonna say Leroy.
Was Desiree ratted on, or like you know what I'm saying? Like
she didn't rat on Desiree. Desiree ratted on somebody. Like she grew up in like crime. She actually the actual definition of a rat. Desiree is that she's an FBI informant.
That's an actual rat.
Yes,
right, and that's what I was saying. She is a rat. You know what
I'm
saying?
I'm not.
But Nicki Minaj calling her a rat. it doesn't upset me for calling a rat, you know what I'm saying? No. But anyway, that went way off kilter right there.
Yeah, it did. But you know what I
mean? It's the rest is going to tell everybody, well, first of all,
quickly,
Nicki Minaj is doing all this foolishness. Now people are coming out and saying things like her Monster verse is overrated, which
is crazy,
hyper hilarious. And I would love to break that down later on. But anyway, Rez, please tell everybody why you can't just be MAGA.
Because there's more than two political parties. So there are two major political parties that we are aware of, right? But what's happened under, especially under the Trump regime, if you go back to 2012 timeframe, 2012-2016, we had things like Blexit that came about. The Libertarian Party got a lot of support. The Tea Party got a lot of support. And a lot of those people, like Trump, was actually what was considered more Tea Party than Republican. Trump is not a conservative. I don't know who you are and what you may believe. I'm not telling you that Trump is good or bad. I'm just telling you that Trump is not a conservative. If you look at what a conservative is by definition. 2-5, can you please pull up what a conservative is by definition?
Okay.
Because I want to make sure we're very clear about this. Words have meaning, right? Did he run as a Republican? Absolutely. Is he a conservative? No. Go.
A conservative is someone who favors traditional structures, gradual change, and established institutions, generally supporting limited government, personal responsibility, free markets, strong national defense, and traditional social values.
Okay. So let's start from the back and work our way up. Pause. All right.
Whoa.
Does he represent traditional values? Does anyone think that Trump in traditional values?
I think that when he initially ran, he tried to run on that. Now, no.
No, but I think no, said not, that no, so he's not elected.
It's not just how you run. It's not just how you run, because that's the thing, right? Because what you like, if we're talking again, I'm talking in your nature, not just what you say. Right, because you can say I'm conservative. People say I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal or whatever they say. I'm a social capitalist, whatever it is. Based on what we know about Donald Trump, privately and publicly, is he about traditional values?
No.
No. What's the next one?
There was also strong national defense.
Strong national defense. I have no reason to believe that he's not for a strong national defense.
Okay. Free markets.
Absolutely for a free market.
Personal responsibility.
Does this man sound like somebody that's for personal responsibility?
No.
Donald Trump is allergic to accountability. And I say that as somebody who really liked Trump at one point in time.
Okay, next.
Limited government.
Isn't this the guy that created a whole new department of the government?
Yes.
Isn't this the guy that went through and said, okay, we need to make sure that we are putting more regulation over private entities and not less?
Yes.
Does that sound like somebody that's about limited government?
Snatching people off the streets, you know what I mean? Including other politicians.
Does that sound like somebody that's for limited government?
No.
Okay, next.
Let's see. It's a gradual change.
Gradual change. The guy that signed more, the guy that decided on day one of his presidency to start by undoing every other executive order that was done by every executive order that was done by his predecessor. Does that sound gradual to you?
No.
Okay.
And favors traditional structures.
Traditional structures. I think the board sweeps, y'all. This guy is not conservative. So what Donald Trump and many of his followers, his true followers are, they're libertarian. The libertarians, they want to get, they have a certain agenda and they're pushing towards it. The other stuff really doesn't matter. They're not here for your morals, your moral things. They're not here for tradition. They don't care about that. They want to get done what they want to get done, and they want to get it done right now. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying that's what it is.
Well, the problem though, because libertarians are normally free pro speech and liberty and things like that. You know what I mean? Whereas the Trump side of the house is more like, I support your free speech as long as you're saying what I want you to say.
I'm about to say he supports free speech as long as you don't talk about him. That's the only problem. Yeah.
Well, because that's
king mentality though. That's why.
But that's the difference. But that's the difference between Trump and his followers, right? Trump has the ability to have that part of it. His followers don't care about that part really. They want free speech. They're the, hey, man, I just want to be able to say what I want to say. You can say what you want to say. I'm going to say what I want to say. Of course, like we saw with the Charlie Kirk incident, they want to sort of like put their thumb on the scale when it's their turn. But for the most part, they ought to be able to be like, say what you want. I'm going to say what I want. You say what you want and whatever.
Yeah, like some of us are like, say more. Trump is like, say less.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you do that there. But real quick, Red, since you like these words.
Words.
A liberal values individual liberty, rights and equality, supports progress, social justice, and the government's role in ensuring opportunity.
Yeah, I think that is dead on. Yeah, I think that's dead on what people consider most liberals. But again, understand that just being a liberal doesn't mean you're a Democrat.
Right.
Not all liberals are Democrats.
I think the thing that really gets the liberals a lot of hell is the fact that it's the progressive social change. Like, they want everything to look like progress. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't like that aspect of it, where some people can't get over the fact that it's like, you guys want.
But see, that's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother conversation, because Republicans and conservatives, these people, MAGA, whoever, they don't necessarily dislike progress. They just don't want you to have progress.
I don't know.
That's it.
Like the Democrat liberal thing that's going on right now is that we want everyone to have progression, have the same opportunities, the same set of circumstances across the board as mm-hmm. much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The other side is like, no, we're under attack.
Right. Our liberties, our freedoms are under attack, right? People, so.
That's people, why you want the black pilot. You want to make sure the black pilot is qualified, because you don't believe that he is.
Wait, I have an analogy.
So look, the thing about that is, I've seen that whole conversation.
I did too.
He didn't say that he didn't want black pilots.
No, he did not say that.
You know, he said
that.
He also said on multiple times,
a black pilot and have to wonder if that black pilot is qualified. That's right. What you just said.
What would make him not wonder? What would make him not wonder if the black pilot was qualified?
So that's the thing, though, about that particular conversation. The context of it matters, because he said that in context to fighting the whole I hate DEI thing.
Hold on, wait, stop. Why couldn't he have just said, I don't want to walk on a plane and wonder if my pilot is qualified?
Boom.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Tufaf. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you why he didn't say that, because that wouldn't have got clicks.
It's the same thing that Dave Chappelle said. It's the same thing Dave Chappelle said.
That makes a lot of sense. Because it's the world that we live in, where everything has to be a viral moment. Everything has to be clicks. Everything has to make me money in some type of way when I put it out there. Like us, we don't put this podcast out because we get paid. We put it out because we genuinely just want to talk about things and hope that it intrigues somebody. But
we also don't say things to get clicks.
That too. But there's somebody out there who will not do this unless, yo, are we getting 1,000 views this week? No? I'm not getting on this week. You know, like, they're only here for the money. So they're really just trying to generate those clicks. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, shit, if you look at our TikTok, what has the most clicks? It's the things that seem like we're trying to be controversial, but we're just having regular conversation.
Yeah, no.
Controversial are the things that get all the likes and views and all that stuff.
Just to go back to that point real quick, though, about the rights thing. So think about it this way, right? There are people who have been able to sort of sit in first class. Think of it like an airplane, since we use the pilot. You're used to sitting in first class.
Okay.
Other people sit in coach. Well, they see more people sitting in first class as a problem. As though if somebody else sits in first class, they have to leave first class. No, they don't have to leave first class. It's just that other people also now fit into first class. And it's like, you don't belong here. They want to be able to dictate who comes into first class, because that gives them a level of power that they've always had, like, naturally, by force, of course, and by policies.
I think that's dangerous thinking, though, sometimes.
What?
Because I think it keeps us so. What,
the gatekeep?
Yeah, like I think it keeps us in a kind of a negative mindset if we feel like people at power are gatekeeping certain things because it seems that way.
But they are.
No, but people are gatekeeping. No, it's literally that's what happens. Yes,
I agree with you that it can become destabilizing mentally for you if that's all you focus on.
Right.
But I don't think
right. I'm not saying that it's not happening.
It's a dangerous.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. My thing is, it's happening. So just like when they had the people in Charlottesville, Virginia, that were marching around saying Jews will not replace us, right?
What
they were saying that. Do you don't remember that?
Well, I think that's a Mandela effect thing because I watched this video a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't saying in the video it was the same people, same thing. They weren't saying Jews in the video. They were saying you will not replace us. But I swear that when I saw it, when it actually happened, I swear they were saying Jews will not replace us.
Hold up.
I think it's one of those Mandela effect things. You know what I mean? Like, because me and Lindsay like literally looked at each other like. They did say Jews, right? But when we were watching the video, it was you will not replace us. Now, you can argue about who you is.
I feel like, and I don't want to say this in a way that we
know. They said both.
Okay.
They said Jews will not replace us and you will not replace us. They said both.
Okay. So they must have clipped a certain part of the video then. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the clips are the worst part of all this because, you know, you take 45 seconds to a 2-minute thing and, you know, you can make everybody think whatever. But I don't want to say this like how we talk on the phone because y'all know I just say random stuff all the time because it's funny.
Yeah, don't do that.
But in all seriousness, I do think that the way that we move around and the way that we are so quick to spread things without doing a deep dive on it is probably like one of the things that really holds us back in general, because a lot of the times we'll see something and we don't research it. We just see it and it's like, boom, all right, bet I saw this. Now I'm going to immediately send this to 13 people in my friend group.
Right.
Now we're going to start stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring. When before I sent it out, I could have went, found the full interview, watched the full interview, dissected it a little bit more on my own, and then sent out the clip and then had a discussion with my friends about the full part of the interview as well.
Well, the Sharon Moore thing is a perfect point of contention with that because it was literally like Sharon Moore is fired and then everybody ran with it. Then it was, oh, HR didn't even talk to him. They just fired him. Is he going to file a lawsuit? And then like 30 minutes later, it was, hey, he broke into that girl's house. And then 20 minutes after that, he threatened suicide. And then it was just like, oh, because everybody was trying to be first. Like, yeah. I gotta have the exclusive. Like, no, just get the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring back real journalism.
Yeah, no, I think it's something that I don't want to go, you know, shout out to the people who do consume our stuff on TikTok and everything. You know, sometimes somebody watch a clip of something that we said and say, hey, you know, that was crappy. I hated what you said there. Why would I watch more of what you have to say? Now, I want to take that and make it a hateful statement versus something like, oh, I don't think Pharrell is the greatest, has like no flaws, right? So they hear that and that's not something they want to consume. If it's something they consider to be hate speech, I'm definitely not trying to find out more of your hate speech. Like people, you can tell, like send me a clip about what's that guy, Nick Fuentes?
Yeah,
like boy. You can send me a clip of that, and I'm not gonna be like, "Oh my God, let me find out more about what this guy has to say." I don't want to hear it, dog. But I also won't share it, and I think that's the part of society that we really need to get away from. This part where we hate watch and we hate share things.
Ooh.
Oh, this is terrible. Let's keep sharing this out so other people can see it. The truth is that these people do these things because it gets them more attention. Charlie Kirk talked like he talked because it got him more attention. That's what made him more money. But guess how you kill people like that? Not literally kill them, but on the internet, you destroy their power by limiting their voice. Don't share it. Don't comment.
Yep.
You're talking deep into my soul because you know what 2-5 hates.
What does 2-5 hate? Go.
2-5 hates you mindless scum just look for confirmation bias. Do not come to war without weapons. If you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, don't talk about it. Don't come back to me 2-3 days later after you've had time to watch somebody else's opinion about what you're arguing with me about and try to use that as the focal point of your argument. Because one, I don't respect it because it's not your own words. Two, why did it take you a couple of days to come back to finish an argument that you started? Three, I'm not going to repeat myself because you're not as important for me to do that. So if you're going to argue about something, know what you're talking about. And if you don't know, guess what? Say, I don't know. When Jack comes to me and he's all talking to me about Big Sean and NBA Youngboy and all this stuff, I don't sit there and try to act like I know what he's talking about. I say, you know what? I haven't heard that song. I don't know that music. Let me listen to that and I'll get back to you. I'm not going to sit up here and argue back and forth about why this person is great or bad and I don't know what the hell I'm even arguing about. So when you talk to me with fact. We can do funny. We can do emotion. We can do all that stuff, but just be telling the truth because you and I can disagree. And that don't mean that you're trying to manipulate me. We're just looking at it from a different vantage point. But if you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, get out of my face.
And yo. Listen to Big Sean. No, it's funny. I don't even like Big Sean. Just...
Yeah, Big Sean is ass. Oh, never mind.
He heard the song. I played it for him. Yo,
you played it?
Yeah. Doug, so 2-5. Thank you. And I think that actually lines up perfectly with what Dave Chappelle was saying on the thing about conspiracy theories. If you know, then you know.
You don't
but
know.
If you That's don't know, just say, I don't know. I believe.
Say, like, I think.
But when you state it as a fact, and then can I add to that 2-5 what Rajon hates?
Of course.
I hate when people state their opinions as fact in general.
Okay.
And then when you assume that everyone that doesn't think the way you think is just lying about what they actually think because they don't agree with you. No, you think what I think. You just don't want to say it out loud. Like, oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're just stupid.
You just think differently than I do. And that's first, okay.
At first, I thought you meant like how I'd be like, you know, everybody, blah, blah, blah. You know, how I'll get
mad. Oh, no, I hate that too.
Yeah, I know.
I hate when you do that.
But I thought that's what Rez was talking about until he said the BS that we know who says that.
Yeah, like, oh, no, everybody thinks this.
I'm only saying what you can't say.
Yeah, I'm only saying it because I'm saying, you know, I'm the only one that got the guts to say it. No, you're not, bro. You're not different. You're not special.
Stupid enough to have that a thought.
Anyway. Hey, bro, I love that one. Great things I hate this week, dog. Great things I hate this week.
One of these days, I'm gonna write this stuff down. You know,
one of these days he's gonna actually talk about how he feels about leggings. It's gonna be hysterical.
You know, oh yeah, don't even get me started on these lazy broads out here. You know, what
no.
Intelligent.
Okay. There you go.
Okay,
all right.
Okay. All right. So does Jack have a hot take for us this week?
What you got, Jack?
Do I have a hot take today?
That sounds like a no.
I mean, I do. I didn't write it down or nothing. I'm just trying to think, like, do I have something that meaningful?
Well, I'm 1-take 2-5, bro.
He is 1-take 2-5 because he said that. If you notice, 2-5, he doesn't do the and party.
Nah, he rumbled said, with that.
Yo, come here with facts. Come to war with weapons. You're nothing else. I promise I'll kill you. Okay?
You bitch.
No, what my take for the day is, man, is cherish your children. I would say that for me personally, there's been a lot of times in my life since my daughter's been born, obviously, because, you know, can't be talking about if I was 16, but like there's been a lot of times since my daughter was born where I might have a bad day or, you know, everything just feels like it's going wrong. And she'll come out of nowhere and give me a hug or come out of nowhere and be like, I just want you to know that you're awesome, daddy, and you should be happy. And it's like, I ain't said nothing about being sad. I ain't did nothing. I'm just chilling, you know. And she comes up and she'll do stuff like that. Or I'll go through my phone and see a video that we made I forgot about, you know. So, and I think a lot of the times that we don't think about the small things. You know, I was talking to 2-5 earlier about a job. And I said, yo, if they pay you such and such, would you do it? And 2-5's exact answer was, it's not worth the time that I'm going to miss that I can't get back. I don't care about the money. It's just I'm going to miss parts of my kids' lives that I can't get back because I went and got a job temporarily. And I think that a lot of people should have that mindset because as much as we don't like to think about it, our kids are only around for a little bit of time, man. And then all of a sudden, they're teenagers. And what people fail to realize about the teenage life is they ain't hanging out with you, bro. Like, you really have the first 12 years of your kid's life. And then after that, they start getting friends, start getting groups. They start having to do this, that, and this. You know, they get their own type of business going on. They want to be in their room all day and stuff like that. So really, them first 10 years, you really got to cherish those moments because those are your babies. And then after that, they start becoming their own little people. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to say they're not going to still kick it with you. But when you have your babies with you, they actually think you're still cool. And that's my hot take.
Love it.
Great take, man. Great take. I love that. All right.
And I understand, Rez, you had something for us too.
Yeah, just briefly. So, you know, I just want to just take a little personal moment to talk about something, you know. First of all, I'm a veteran of the Army, so I have, you know, VA. I go to the doctor, you might check out once a year. But I decided to go and get a civilian doctor so I can have, because it's hard to get appointments at the VA. It's like if you're sick, it takes a while to get an appointment. So I was like, let me get a civilian doctor. So I actually have a civilian doctor now. And one of my first checkup, and they actually told me that I am type 2 diabetic. So I said that to say that I would not have known that if I did not go to the doctor, have the checkup. I do not have like any of the symptoms that will make it seem like I'm suffering from diabetic episodes or anything like that. So I thank God for that. But I wanted to make sure I did this because so many of us men don't take the time to go to the doctor. We think we can just power through. We think, oh, you know, we don't have to really check on our health until we get 50 something years old or 60 something years old. And no, like right now there's stuff happening in your body that if you catch early, you can deal with. But the longer you wait before you go to get those checkups, the more likely it is they won't be able to stop it or fix it when they do identify those things. So I am working to get my life together. I'm drinking a whole lot more water. I'm following the list. I'm listening to my wife and Jack with all the advice that they're giving me in terms of making sure that I'm doing, that I'm taking care of myself so I can live a long time with all my limbs and all my teeth. So my word for all the men out there, especially my black men, is please take your health seriously. Go out there, get those checkups, find out, you know, what's going on with your body so that you can live long for your family. Like Jack said, time is something you can't get back. And if you die early, you don't get to see your grandkids. You don't get to see your great grandkids. Like, you want to see those things. So take care of your body so you can live a long time and have a healthy life.
Well, now that me and Rajan have made everybody sad. you know, it was a good show. You know, we tried to leave it. Oh, go ahead, say something.
I was going to say, and next week, I promise, we're going to have some Joe Budden podcast for you.
Joe Budden podcast.
I just wanted that drop.
Well, yeah, man. Of course, you know, as always, we appreciate everybody who listened first time, last time. You know what I'm saying? For all the people that came and stayed for 45 minutes and left, we're not even seeing this. Open dialogue, always intelligence. Don't shut down possible relationships because somebody can get money from you. Look into it, think about it, make your game. Say less.
Joe Budden podcast.